Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, along with my co-host, L Diggity Dog. What's going on there, sir?
What's up, fam? How you feeling today, man? How's everything going with your day, bro, man?
Hey, man, man. Everything is going very swell, very swell, man. A wonderful another week for me, man. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We got over the hump. We at home. A lot of things going on. We had the All-Star game yesterday. We got the XP tonight. We got a lot going on in the sports world, man. What's going on with you, man? Sounds like you got a lot going on over there.
Yeah, just, you know, doing the thing, man, living the life right now, just chilling with the fam, you know, doing everything, and that's about it.
All right, well, let's get into it, man. Let's talk about our Tigers, man. Before we get into that, the AL won, the All-Star game, 6-3, Mike Trout sold out, MVP, second year in a row. This guy might be something special, man. We got to witness, you know, we might be witnessing something special with him, man.
Yeah, well, you know. Oh, crap. Yeah, we definitely are, man. You know what I'm saying? This league right here. Hold on one second, you guys. I'm sorry, my apologies. If I have technical difficulties, this thing just fell on me. Yeah, you know, like I said, with the baseball going on right now, man, you got you have a lot of. Hold on one second, cut this off, too. No, these are the kids running up in here on you guys, everybody. My apologies, everybody. We back in set, full effect. Okay, where we at? Baseball, right? All-Star game. Everything going on.
The AL wins, and it may be advantageous for the Tigers because if they can make the World Series, they could possibly have home field advantage.
Let's go back. How many years ago was that? About 6 years ago? When Justin Verlander was pitching, and this is when the decline of Justin Verlander really started in my eyes. When he was pitching in that game, and he pitched like over 100 pitches or something like that, and then everybody was joking with him, like, you know, why'd you try so hard? And ain't like the Tigers going to make it. And lo and behold, the Tigers came back and made it to the World Series that year. You know what I'm saying? All because of Justin Verlander. You know, it's a thing. You know, home field advantage is very important in the World Series. You know what I'm saying? It's not like getting that whole crowd and swinging things and everything else getting involved in the game. So, you know, like I said, it's good for the AL is dominating them lately, though. As long as, you know, that was until we get the AL to actually win the World Series. You know what I'm saying? Whole field only goes so far. You know what I'm saying? The last few games, the American League has won it. But the National League has been taking the World Series under.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting, man, these Tigers, man, after the 9 games out of first place. Miggy's down for at least 6 more weeks, 5 to 6 more weeks. Verlander, even though he didn't look good, he looked good his last time out. Shane Green. He talked to him. He got to the rotation and delivered a dud.
And it was a waste of time.
Contract talks with David Price. I hope that's a smokescreen of some sort. But with all that being said, I don't know if we can get back in this race, man. Kansas City's playing good baseball. Minnesota's solid. We're shaky. Rotation's shaky. I know somebody's going to try to, you know, people are going to say they're going to try to make a trade. But I don't know, man. And they're not talking to Price about an extension. He's been our best player, which means he's probably our most, and he's a free agent after this year. He's basically our
he's
most.
He's what you would call another. He's another rental player right now. You know what I'm saying? That's a shame. For the fact that we ain't locked this man up long term just yet. The problem is we put all that dedication, faith, and trust into Verlander, thinking that he was going to be an ace. After I told you guys, I was saying this last year. That we he's been out there too much. He's been going too deep, and it's starting to have his wear and tear in him. A pitcher, especially in this game, when you had Tommy John surgery, all type of injuries to ligaments and damages to the tricep, to the elbow, to the forearm. Pitcher's life expectancy, especially with that type of violent pitch that he has, to reach to touch the 100 miles an hour, everything else. Those life expectancies don't last long. And for us to lock him up as long as we did, he has another 5 years making $27 million a year, or 6 years making another $27 million a year. That's not good, man. That's not good at all. We base our loyalty off what they did in the past, which is excellent to do, but now we stuck with this contract. You know what I'm saying? I would love for him to have a couple of great innings or have a couple of good outings so we can move him and pick up some more pieces. And his sign price try to pick up and trade another guy, but now we stuck. We in that catch 22 now. You know what I'm saying? So we got to hope and pray that he has the same type of outing, at least getting to the eighth inning, because our bullpen is so shitty, they can't go four batters, which is a damn shame. You know what I'm saying? Justin Verlander did an excellent effort. He did his, what we call his new norm. He got it to the seventh, and he had a great pitch count, great everything. And then when he started to shake, we had to leave him out there because we had no bullpen help. That is a constant problem, and that goes back to our management. That goes back to the people who recruit. It goes back to our farmer system. We have nothing in the tank to give. We have nothing to trade. The last 5 years, we've been trying to win now. You know what I'm saying? Because of that win-now attitude, we have nothing. We really have nothing. We have to get us something real good to try to get something just to plug the gap, which is the bullpen. We didn't address it in all season like we should have. We signed back Jarvis Chamberlain for what? I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? We finally come in, but that's the problem. We keep going loyalty to garbage players instead of looking at other people's farm system. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get some other players. You know, now we can hope Cincinnati in a cluster bleep, and we can hope we can pick up one of their pitchers, one of their bullpen help. You know what I'm saying? And give up some garbage and try to get something just decent right now. You know, so that now we got to look at the team.
In that instance, though, what do you give up? Because you
said, Now, here's the thing. If we can package, now I know this is asking a lot, okay? But like a Green and, I don't know, like a Rajah Gates, we got to do something like that to get bullpen help. A person that's a solid center fielder for us, rotation guy, you know what I'm saying, can try to brew in somebody that can help put a gap, you know what I'm saying? And I hate to get rid of one of those outfielders because they are blazing fast. We finally got some blazing fast speed that people be like, damn. You know what I'm saying? It's a good defensive team, but we got to give them something because we can't, our pitching is so suspect. The Tigers haven't had bad pitching in the last 6-7 years, man. Our pitching has been the number one thing about us. And it's been declining slowly but surely. We've been trading our pieces. We've been trying to gamble on our pitching coach and everything to keep us in it, but it's not going to work now. So now we're at rock bottom. To be honest with you, the Tigers, in our eye, the last of it is at rock bottom. We're in that still limbo. We can try to make a trade to pick up something, but then we're going to mortgage something for the future. And then if we sell, the last thing we need to do is give it a price. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, you know, lock this man up because look what we got to get him. We gave up, what was our center fielder? It was a Jackson and a pitcher and a prospect to get him. Now that he's older and he's at the end of his contract, we're going to get back less than that. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to get back nothing. You know, so my thing is we can't trade it. Let's lock it up long term so we can have something to build around. Because Verlander is not it. And I'm tired of just give it a chance. Man, you look at your eyes, man. The eyeball tells everything.
Well, the thing about it is, they didn't expect him to come back and be an ace. He signed that contract years ago. No one expected the injury to happen. But they didn't expect him this year, knowing what they knew, for him to be the ace. They knew he was going to miss some time. So that's why they had Price. That's why they had Annabelle Sanchez. He was technically really supposed to be in that second to third pitcher area. Just because his contract, which is guaranteed, by the way, you know, says he's the number one guy. Doesn't make him number one guy this year coming in. With that said, when you look at him in his last start, I'm only looking at that last start. I'm not convinced either. But I still think he has value. But no one's going to trade for him in that contract, not knowing if he's healthy.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's like no one's going to trade for Shane Green, looking as terrible as he is, who's just come out of Calais and got bombed. No one's going to make a deal for him and give you anything that's going to help you in a pennant race. May give you something for your minor league system. You know, maybe a utility guy need to, but those guys don't have any value right now. Maybe Simon, if he can get a good outing or two, but I don't know what we're going to have to give up. You know, maybe another prospect or two, if we have any.
We don't have any. That's the problem.
Arms. We definitely been stockpiling arms. And Dombrowski, they like his arms. So maybe he can be able to work some of his magic. There's also some rumors that have been a couple teams that may pursue him. The Tampa Bay Rays may pursue him at the end of the year as their GM. What do you think if he leaves the Tigers?
Okay, if he leaves the Tigers, we don't expect to make the playoffs. Don't expect to compete for the pennant. Expect to be where Cleveland's been for the last 2 years. We are 5 to 6 years behind as far as talent goes, as far as scouting goes, for depth and everything else. But if we got to compete, we're going to fall off at the end. That's what's going to happen. That's what the problem's going to happen with us. We'll be competitive for a little while, but then we're going to fall off. We're going to end it. We're not going to be our code. We're not going to be what we're used to seeing. It's not going to be exciting. It's going to be that era, like after 85, where the Tigers were for 10 years. We're going to go there because we have too much money on the books. We have too much. I mean, we just have. It's just we're like the third highest team out there behind the Yankees and somebody else. That's a damn shame, dude. That's a damn shame. And to beat us this center and have all that money out there? No.
And to be honest with you, I mean, when you take a good, long, hard look at it, I look at them and I say, in the rotation.
But the old man is 87 years old.
They're one solid starter away from contention and two bullpen arms. Give me a right and a left, a middle reliever. Away from contention. Serious contention. But when you add into the injuries, into the mix, then maybe 6 weeks, that affects you. B-Mark, the first half of the year affected you. Or the first quarter of the year affected you. Or the middle of the year, whenever it was, you missed. You know, these injuries start to pile up. Verlander missed the first half of the year. I'm tempted to say they're out of this race and they can't get back in. I'm a fan, so I'm going to give them a puncher's chance, a 25% chance of getting back in. But I don't know. What do you think about them? Where's your panic meter at, man?
My panic meter is full blown right now. I'm going to tell you like this. I don't see them making a comeback, to be honest with you. Miggy's out, even though the offense is playing 5, 6, 7, 8 times bigger without Miggy in there. Which is puzzles me because why all of a sudden everybody wants to pick up the pace, or maybe we just play some garbage teams right now. But the problem is, you know,
they still
with him
four
down.
Runs, though. I wouldn't give him credit for that.
They definitely score runs. But the thing is, we knew the team was going to take a step back as far as good pitching go when we lost, you know what I'm saying, our last four pitches. That's been nice. Okay? So we thought we could outscore everybody. But now, Darian, we're putting up 6, 7 points, but we're losing 9-6. 9-11-5, you know, 9-8. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. You know, so my thing is the panic meter is full blown because even with when Miggy comes back, we add an extra 2 more runs a game. We say he's just good for, you know, say 2 more points. Okay.
That's
the
point.
After that,
he was up 7-1.
Yeah. We was up ridiculous. We went. I'm gonna tell you like this. I was on the bus tour, the Drunken Bus Tour. I left one bar, we was up 6-1, okay? By the time we got to the other bar, we lost. It was like, how did that happen? You see what I'm saying? And that's almost a 20-minute ride.
You said quickly.
And then lost. Yeah.
Quickly.
It was like, and I'm going to talk like this. My friend, I know he wants to come. I know he's a new manager and everything else. But he is really... The suspect is not even describing what he is right now, man. This is ridiculous.
So I want to ask you, Wolf, and I want to ask you this very quickly because we spent an inordinate amount of time on this longer than we need to. But real quickly, if we don't make the playoffs this year, if we don't make a run, where does that leave Osmus?
Shit. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you this. Osmus was a coach that took over damn near World Series team. Okay, and then not to make the playoffs the next year, it's time for a new everything. Everything. That's a new everything. Even, and another thing we need to get rid of, these position coaches, our pitching coach, our batting coach, everybody, all these cats is not doing good.
Well, I'll leave on this note. I won't do that to him. He faced a lot of injuries this year.
and the arms didn't hold up, and he didn't put the lineup together on the pitching staff. That was Dombrowski.
So you think Dombrowski needs to go?
Still got a long way to go. I'll give him one more year and try to put things in place for him to be good. But let's keep it moving, man. Let's talk briefly about the NBA, which is really not much going on. Summer League is going on. Let's talk about the Pistons, man. Free agency period is pretty much over. Still some mid-level guys out there, but the Pistons, man, I just see it, man. Huh?
Questionable pickups. We picked up a garbage guard the other day that averages 3.8 points a game. I'm not understanding that one.
Well, he's insurance for if Brandon Jennings doesn't play. But give me your overall real quick synopsis. First of all, Stanley Johnson, what's the name of him? Is he the truth? And where do you see the Pistons? What's your expectations for them for next year? And can they end their playoffs route?
Okay, well, see, Johnson is the truth. I've had the pleasure, I'm not going by what he say, she say type of stuff. People are talking about it. I actually had the pleasure sitting back watching this man play. And I noticed I call a man, and I'm a boy coming fresh out of college. He's actually a man amongst boys out there. I know he's not playing against LeBron, but he has talked some shit about how LeBron has a target on him, how he wants to be an all-around team player, not just a individual on a team contributing. You know what I'm saying? He's talked the right talk. Yeah, he's backing it up. My man is dominant out there. People think he wasn't a scoring threat. Yes, he is a scoring threat. Going to the hole, a nice jump shot. Defense is out cold. He's physical. And I think he's going to start from day one, off rip.
That's a pretty astute observation. I commend you for that. Young Elzar doing his research on basketball. That's what's up. I'm going to tell you, I like to hear. I've been definitely one on record. I said I prefer Winslow. I'm not going to switch it up as of now, but I definitely like what I see. The guy has definitely shown me more than I definitely thought he had, and I'm definitely pleased with him. And to your point about him starting day one, they brought in Marcus Morris, who I haven't been able to see much of him in college. He only played 1 year, I think 1 or 2 years. I think 1 year in college at Kansas with his brother. And he's a kind of a swing four. He plays a 3 and a 4. He's a running guy, a bigger guy. They say he can shoot a little bit, have a little bit of a face-up game, mid-range game, can finish a little bit. But what I saw from this kid, and it's still very early, I think he's going to be starting by the post within the first 20 games of the season. It depends on how your guy wants to work it, really. We don't know the makeup of the team. We're talking about 10 guys who probably, your favorite word is depth. I'm going to say it before you do on this show. But we're talking about a guy who probably can play all 10 of these guys on some team's bench. But some of them are starters, what I'm saying, for us. So
right.
We got depth. I'm not right. Really good at it. So. It was funny. I forwarded that article about John Wall upset now that he's getting paid the same amount of money that Reggie Blackson getting paid. The NBA pay scale is about to go haywire. But
Okay,
man. I see those guys, man. Not much better than last year, man.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think he's trying to build it in his image, and I hope he can coach up what he's trying with his vision. But I'm not sold as Drummond as an offensive force yet. I'm not sold as Jackson as the real deal, Holyfield franchise point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been sold. I don't think I'm going to be sold on KCP as a true two guard.
No, none of us are, but we got
to. You like Stanley Johnson, and I think that he can definitely push. Possibly day one, no doubt. I think my man may want a little more veteran force there. It depends what they have coming off the bench, too, because he's a guy that can play so many positions and defend so many positions and do some things offensively. He could be the sixth man and provide some juice to that second level. But I like Stanley Johnson, man. But I'm going to say the Pistons. Pistons are on their way back, man, to the lottery. I think they're going to win about 37, 38 games. Let's play off again. Get about 10th or 11th in the East. and be back in the lottery. That's my prediction. How you think it's going to fall off for those guys?
Honestly, it all depends on how, if these guys can build some chemistry. This is one thing you're forgetting real quick. Jackson came in the middle of the year. What's the name? Other point guard. What's his name right now? That's coming off the bench right now. He got hurt. You know what I'm saying? When he was starting to make, and he was doing a hell of a good job, you know what I'm saying, putting up points. That man's the
right person. Let me correct you. I think he played 23 games.
Okay.
Because he got, I forgot when Brandon got hurt, but Augustine played some good basketball as well. Let me trade him to OKC for Jack. But go ahead. I'll digress.
No problem. So my thing is, now, what you got here now, you have people that have a whole preseason and underneath their belt together. You know what I'm saying? I think that right there alone is enough to push them as the final seed in the playoffs. I think with this new type of style of offense that they're going to have that, you know, a big, they finally got the one big, they can play some small ball. They've seen what it did to, like, LeBron and them on a consistent basis, wore their asses out after a while. And the thing is, I believe that this team right now has the capability of making that final playoff spot. They're going to be pushing for it. I mean, you're not going to get bad basketball. I'm saying that right now. You're going to get a totally different type of basketball. It's going to be disciplined. You're going to have people coming off the bench. You're going to have depth. People are going to be fresh. You know what I'm saying? We got a squad now. Even though people think it's a bunch of nobodies, watch that people and cats that you know that can't. You know, that's the. We have a couple of suspects. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think we have enough. I'm going to say the word again, depth, so we can build and look for something special to happen this year with us.
You say what now?
I believe that we have enough depth. These cats can actually compete and make it and go for the final seed. I don't think they're going for a lottery ball pick. I think they're going to actually make the playoffs this year.
You said that the last 2-3 years, too, though. You agree with that?
Okay, yeah, but I'm seeing something being built. Let's digress. I didn't say it the last 2-3 years. I said it last year. I said it last year when we brought in a new coach and a new GM. I'm saying that this year, not the year before that, no. This year, yes, I can say it this year.
Okay, just full disclosure for the people. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorites, man. So far, we saw free agency go through. Your favorites for the finals. Upcoming. I know it's earlier. Take a shot at it.
Damn. Let's see. My favorite sort of final. Look at my notes real quick. Okay, we're going to start off like this. The champs from last year, I know you were a champ. If you, you know what I'm saying, if you were a champ, until somebody dethroned you, correct? You know what I'm saying? So I look at Cleveland coming out of the East again. Unless, you know, unless Atlanta and, you know, those teams make a big deal. And then coming out of your West, I am looking at the San Antonio Spurs. They made a few pickups, and they got a little bit better. And I think that team right there is going to be back A1 again.
Smart man. I also picked the San Antonio Spurs to be able to pop Golden State somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the finals against Cleveland. And I think it'll be a very entertaining finals. I want to see Cleveland totally healthy. I don't know who will win right now. I think.
Spurs will do it too.
Kevin Love and a healthy Kyrie, another year playing together. They got Shumpert back. They signed Mo Williams. I don't know if J.R. Smith is coming back, but they signed Tate Scott, man. That's tough, man. Playing defense on the wing, 15 minutes, that's going to be tough. But I like them, man. I like both those things to make. Golden State, good team. I think it really kind of fell their way this year. A little bit with the West being, the Seas being the way they did. They played good basketball. I don't know if a dynasty is going to be made right now. I'm not willing to say that, but check them out. Let's get quickly to U of M and Michigan State football. Man, we're getting close to that time, man. I know I'm a little early. I'm a little excited. The recruiting process kind of cooled a little bit. You know, guys are kind of
stagnated, or these two teams are kind of stagnated on the signings. Nothing really big to talk about. A lot of kids, you know, recruits still out there, so expect some news in the coming weeks and probably on signing day. And visits will be going on during the beginning of the season, so look forward to all that recruiting news. Michigan State, man, Michigan State. Looking at their schedule, man, how do you feel your boys are gonna come out this year? Just, I know it's early. We don't have to go in depth. We ain't gotta go game by game. Just, you know, quickly glance. You know, see, you know, how you think your boys gonna do? I can tell you. I look at the schedule. They got a nice schedule, man. It's not super bad either. You know, that Oregon game is gonna be a very telling game early, and that nice national game that they're gonna be hosting actually. And then I see Ohio State and Penn State being pretty much the main obstacle for you guys, man. You guys might be in a little mix a little bit right here, man, looking at you guys. How you keep going with it?
Like I said, the most important game that they got is against Oregon. What's that, the second game of the year? That's a September 12th game. It's going to be a hard one, though, and that's the thing. And I believe Michigan State made those key adjustments and everything. Even though Oregon lost a few players, they still got, a couple. Oregon's speed. Speed, deceptional offense. Defense has always been suspect. I think this year, on their home turf, Michigan State pops Oregon. Then they're looking at the rest of their games. Like you said, after going depth, your first game is at Western. I didn't know that. I thought the first game was at home. But it's cool, they're at Western. And the next 4 games is at home. From Oregon all the way down to Purdue. Their Rutgers, then Michigan. Yeah, they actually had a chance. Honestly, Carl, look at this chance to run the table. They play Ohio State November 21st. If they can eat crowd that game, and they come up against Penn State November 28th, hey, man, you're looking at another team that's going to be ranked in the top five again. They might actually make it to the actual advance to play in the playoff system. Because I'm looking at their schedule really is, I'm not going to say a cakewalk. I'm going to say it like this. Rutgers does scare me, though. Rutgers, as a, it's a way that it's at Rutgers. It's a night game.
The Big Ten is going to be definitely refreshed and revived. It's not it's not going to be a pushover. But I'm just looking at it. I looked at it. Like I said, that's why I highlighted the Oregon game, the Penn State game, and the Ohio State game. Now, with Oregon and the championship game, I haven't really dissected it, and I need to. I apologize to the fellas. Dissected about how Michigan State and Ohio State can make the championship game anymore. I don't know if we're all in the same divisions now.
I think they're in the same division.
So
I think they're winning out of the division next year at the bridge to take Ohio State and put them over there in Wisconsin, because they say it's a shame that Wisconsin can do a cakewalk through the Big Ten. You don't have nobody over there. So I think next year they're going to win out of the division. That's what we're talking about. And put Ohio State over there with Wisconsin and bring somebody over here. And have Michigan State still be over here. Because if you look at our division over here, Michigan State, Ohio State, Rutgers, Penn State, Nebraska, and, that's a power conference over here. If that's how the conference measures up.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of overloaded, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion right now. I know you're going to say I'm hating, but they definitely have a chance to possibly run the table. You got to definitely watch out for that. But I got them going 10-2. I don't know what's going to happen, but the Oregon game, the Penn State game, which is, I think, at Penn State, and the Ohio State game are going to be games that I think they dropped two of them. I think they're a little bit young. Got the defensive big at the cornerback position. And we got to see who's going to develop at the skill position spots. Who's going to be playmakers on the outside and at the running back spot. So, that's how I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at these Michigan boys, their schedule for them, looks like it can go either way. I see that thing from last year. 5-7 is a possibility again. Utah.
Now that right there, that first game of the season up in the mountains is a game right there that's going to tell the tale. Oregon State, I really think it's probably Oregon State. I'm not even looking at Oregon State as a team that, you know, to worry about. Utah is. Utah has shown that they are one hell of a team in the new conference. They do their thing. You know what I'm saying? So that game right there, underneath the lights, with that spread offense they run, and they do have a good defense. Don't get it twisted. The Utah defense is, you know, coming around. I'm worried about that game. But UNLV, BYU, Maryland, Northwestern, you know, so I'm looking like this. They can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The first 5-7 games, they can go 5-7. Okay? And Minnesota's not going to be the same. You know what I'm saying? You know, they lost a few key components on offense and defense. So now you're looking at a 6-2-10 Rutgers. That's a toss-up. They can beat Indiana. But you look at a team that definitely goes to a bowl game this year. I told you that before. I said 8-something before. But like I said, it all depends on Penn State, on what Penn State has done, because they haven't been impressed and nobody's really paying attention to Penn State. Penn State is that team that's definitely like a sleeping giant once again. Like before, it was an outco team, and they kind of, through the allegations, kind of fell down by the wayside. Now we were, because they did a good job of recruiting. They had the best recruiting class, I think, at the Big Ten a couple years ago, and then, you know, they got better. So now we kind of worry to see where they're going with this, how much they develop. So that's what Penn State actually worries me when it comes out to Michigan State and Michigan. Are we there?
Yeah, I said, for me, looking at this situation, Michigan, I'm a little bit worried. Schedule, slightly daunting. Utah, solid, good team, top 25 team. Oregon State, mid-tier, Pac-12 team, solid team, though. A couple years ago, it was in a bowl game. Got a foundation.
Yeah.
UNLV has been going through some problems. Okay? I don't know what they have. West Coast athletes, you never know what can happen. BYU has been solid recently. Produced a couple bowl games. Possibly poppable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking poppy. Then after that, we're going to the Big Ten. It's tough. I have them, man. I look at them, and I wouldn't be surprised. And this is from a homer. I'm trying to be objective as I can. I'm hoping for 8-4, 9-3. That would be great. I look at the team. Possible. It looks has some similarities to that team that Brady Hoke had. I came in 11-2 except for the quarterback position. And that's why I can't, you know, say it's going to be some great rising up going on. I look at a 7-5, very competitive team with tough games at Utah versus BYU versus Michigan State. At Penn State versus Ohio State. The whole schedule is a test. Every game is going to be a battle day in, day out. I don't expect to see no blowout unless, you know, Harbaugh really comes in here to change the game. But the quarterback situation, man, we got a new quarterback, possibly a young quarterback, because the young freshman is now here, Zach Vincent. And after seeing the other freshman, he wasn't really, you know, bringing it. So it's very possible. I mean, if this guy from Oregon is singing, man, he's pretty much competing with Shane Morris, who we've seen in the last couple of years and we haven't been impressed with. So, I mean,
Shane Morris is out the door anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jake Rudick is the guy who played for Iowa, but was replaced.
Okay, yeah.
Not really know him standing out either, you know. But with that being said, man, 7-5, man, unproven quarterback, unproven O-line, new systems, offensive and defensive, man, I'd be happy just to get 8 wins. We get 8-9 wins, I think we're just really going down.
Hey, you know what, that's a realistic number right there. That's realistic right there. Coming from somebody that's a straight hardcore Michigan fan as yourself, you know what I'm saying, that's a realistic number. Because I'm hearing people saying, oh, yeah, with Harbaugh alone, they could have won 3-4 games last year. They're going to go 10 and whatever. I'm like, dude, you got to walk before, you know, crawl before you walk. You know what I'm saying? You hear that type of people. There's a lot of Michigan slappies out there. And it's good in this conference to have confidence in their team, in their program. That's good. That's what you want. But you got to be realistic within yourself. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Michigan fans talk some well with Harbaugh here because he's, you know, such a coach, quarterback, coach, guru, he's going to have them this way and that way. Yeah, they can win a couple more games. I give him that. But, you know, don't come in thinking that he's just going to set the Big Ten on fire that first year. You know what I'm saying? He's done an excellent job recruiting. He's done an excellent job putting Michigan name back on the map, which was their goal. He's lost the whole generation of kids.
So I do agree with you. Well, I do think he is worth 2 or 3 wins.
And I said that before. He is. But
now, I'm saying that with last year's team, only because, maybe 2 with last year's team, only because he would have a veteran quarterback with some type of skill, and he's a quarterback guy. He could have worked with him, and we could have got better quarterback play. The problem is he's going to have to – that's the problem. Whatever quarterback is going to be here this year is going to be his first year. And there is limited to no real known weapon on the outside at the wide receiver
right.
spot. So, not saying that there's not some talent supposed to be there, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to be explosive. I don't know if they're going to make big plays. Defensively, I'm expecting a solid defense. They returned a lot of guys in their 2 weeks. We played a lot of football last year. They kept Greg Madison on, not as a defensive coordinator, but D-line coach. He's still there, helping out with the defense. So maybe that is, you know, a little continuity to the situation. But I don't know, man. We're being realistic as a fan. If they can get to 9 and a New Year's Bowl, that'll be good. That'll be good. Now, to his recruiting, he is putting together a class, you know what I'm saying, or 2. And he's really trying everything, anything and everything to get it done. Now, I will say this about him. If you can't see nothing else about him, he is relentless, he is innovative, and he don't give a damn in his approach. He's trying to get, find, allure, gain attention for players. And I can't be mad at that. I can't be mad at that, man, because he's doing it. He's doing it, you know. I don't know what to say, man. I mean, I know people don't want, you know, people don't like the hype that he's getting or the attention that he's raising, but I think it's good. It's good hype. It's good attention. Satellite camp was a great idea. Nobody did it like he did it. Teams have been doing it for a long time, but nobody did it like he did it. And because he did it, his profile and the way he did it and the spots he hit, it has already just turned up college football. Everybody's conversation,
mm-hmm.
Everybody has a conversation about it. That's good because it started at Michigan, so that's good. When a guy from Alabama says, you know, well, we're not worried about a team up north, and it's the SEC Pro Day. We're not worried about a team up north coming down here and getting players that us Alabama get. That's good publicity. Because we done got 3 players from down in Alabama. I don't know if you want them or not. That don't matter. We need them. We'll take them.
Well, the thing is, when you got Saban talking about stuff like that, I mean, he's the consummate professional, consummate pro. As far as coaching wise in college, you know, so he's been there, he's been dominant, this is an off year for him. So my thing is for him to even acknowledge it, yeah, it's on his mind. People like that when they ignore it, they don't think about it, they don't talk about it. So for him to actually acknowledge it means yeah, that shit is worrying the hell out of him because now Michigan can come down and start grabbing. Ohio State has been doing it. You know what I'm saying? But he hasn't really talked about it because Ohio State's not getting the hype. But now that Michigan is doing it, okay, well, let me say we're not worried about it. Now, Michigan State, Penn State, and the other teams start coming down and grabbing. It's really been like, oh, shit, it's hitting the fan.
It's different with Ohio State. It's different with Ohio State, but they expect it with Urban Meyer because they feel like Urban Meyer is an SEC coach at heart. That's why they don't hail
mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer. You've never heard anybody down there from the SEC say shit about Urban Meyer in Ohio State because, A, he just beat that ass. B, he was beating that ass when he was down there. Beat that ass, had a heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
And came back and beat that ass at you.
Right. And went back to and went to the north on that ass and beating that ass. So they feel like he's really one of theirs. Even though he's from Ohio, I'm sorry. Even though the guy's from Ohio, he's really from there. And he's taking kind of their way of doing things up to the north, and he's been successful with them.
Mm-hmm.
Either way it goes, I don't care how it goes. You know, he was at Utah. He built Utah to what it was.
Yes, he did.
So he's been everywhere. It's whatever he's taking. So he's special. So I think that's why they give them a pass a little bit, but. Everybody's been doing it. Like I said, Penn State have been doing the satellite camps, but no one did 9 in 9 days and all over. They mainly went one or two spots, maybe in Cali or maybe in Florida, and that was it. So, but I think it's an innovative idea. We talked about it. I think it was a great idea for the kids, great exposure for the kids. A lot of guys are going to, you know, get offers from all types of schools, not just Michigan. And Michigan found a couple, hopefully, are hidden gems. But I understand, getting back to the Harbaugh hype, you know, I like him. I think he's going to do some good for him. I think that the rivalry is going to be really reunited really, really, really fast. I'm not going to say they're going to Michigan is going to beat them this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, but something miraculous probably happened with the quarterback play. But at the same time, it's 1 or 2 years out, we could be talking about that. You know what I'm saying? We could be talking about that. We could be talking about a ship. I don't know. But he's going to make it interesting. I know his recruits are at least a year or two from getting on the field and really making an impact. I mean, this is the NFL junior, really. The guys really aren't going to be able to make an impact in the second or third year physically when they start maturing. So he's at least, you know, 3-4 years we can really truly evaluate. The question is, can he stay to year 5 or 6? Or is he going to be out? Or if he does make it to 5 or 6, does he leave after that? That's the question. But let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk a little bit about quick question for you, man.
Oh, yes.
Ohio State. Speaking of them, roll them up the Buckeyes. Quarterback, man. With the embarrassment of riches they have. Braxton Miller staying. He said he's 100%. They say J.T. Barrett. 100%. Cardale Jones has been running the team. I don't know, it's very early. We haven't really had Delton, too, you know, who's been doing what. But who do you think is going to come out ahead of that competition, man?
Okay, we'll start off like this. And this is on my way of thinking, okay? Who did you win the national championship with?
I know you was going to say that. They won it with Cardale Jones.
Only do I say that because, listen, he was off the radar for the simple fact that he made some immature comments before. Okay, he's the biggest one out of all three, one of the most athletic one out of all three. You know what I'm saying? Just because he was immature when he spoke before, he was in the doghouse. And he was like, I just came here just to get ready for the NFL. I didn't come here to go to school. You know what I'm saying? That's his comment. I believe that's a direct quote right there. With that ignorance that he said right then and there, he fell in the doghouse. He's like, oh, no, you ain't coming until he had to go through two other quarterbacks to get his chance to shine, which I think is ignorant. He didn't go to the NFL because he'd have been picked up. He'd have been one of the higher-rated quarterbacks to get picked up if he'd have went. But I digress. So I'm thinking that they're going to actually – it's going to be open competition, honestly. And I think because he's, like, he's the second youngest. You know, because the other ones, he could have transferred and went anywhere and started. If it was senior, he'd have been done. And then, like I said, it's him and the other one. I think he's going to get the bigger shot because, A, you know what I'm saying? He grasped a hold of that team and led it to a national championship. And it's kind of hard for a team to say, okay, thanks for getting us a national championship, but you're not a starting quarterback no more. You know, so that's going to be kind of hard to say. And B, like I said, his physical skills, he's fast, he's elusive, powerful. He's what Urban Meyer had that got to Florida. You know what I'm saying? Urban Meyer has no problem running a two-quarterback system because, A, he did it when Tebow was there and Ryan Leach was there. Malik was there. Remember, everybody forget about the black quarterback he had there before Tebow. You know what I'm saying? Who won a national championship as well. So he had a 1-2 punch at quarterback. I'm not putting the pass on to do it again.
Chris Lee. Hello?
Yeah.
I said Chris Lee.
Yeah, Chris Lee. My fault. Yeah, I told you. Yeah, Chris Lee.
Yeah,
I hear you with that, man, but that was last year, and that was due to injury. He said those comments, I think, his freshman year. This is like 3 years later. I really truly believe that Braxton Miller and JT Barrett are both the better football player than he is, and that's why he was third on the depth chart. I really truly believe that. He's a big guy. He's definitely not as athletic. I'm not going to say athletic. I mean pound for pound athletic because he's the big guy. He's 250, 260 pounds. But
267 pounds, they said he was.
To me,
Braxton
Miller is a little bit frail. JT Barrett was the guy to me who gave them the best threat at the quarterback spot because he was an excellent thrower, great touch, good arm, and he was also an excellent runner, and he made good decisions with the football, and I think he was the best quarterback of them. I think he made them the most dangerous team to me. Really, he led them to the national championship. He didn't play in those games, of course he didn't. I'm not going to say that he did, but he led them through the regular season when Braxton went down and made play after play and game after game and was arguably, you know what I'm saying, the, I don't know, he may have been the Big Ten player of the year. So to me, the sample size was a lot bigger. I think he's a better prospect. I think when you look at those guys head up, if all of them are healthy, I think those two guys, you know, I don't know. And the thing is, we don't know the progression that any of these guys have made. So that's kind of hard
right.
to kind of project.
Ron was a moron and grew up quick. That's all we know. Ron was a moron.
Derek looked like the best prospect of all those guys. Looked like a prospect
right.
now, a problem in the college level, and a problem in the pro level because he has NFL size. He's like 6'2", 6'3", 220. And he was a redshirt freshman. So, to me, he presented a huge advantage. But, again, he's coming off an injury. But that's just something that, you know, talk about. Ohio State has an embarrassment of riches to work with over there. Mr. Meyer's doing a great job down, you know, the school down south, I guess. Let's kick it off, man. Let's keep going to the NFL. Talk about a little bit about some of the news and notes, some of the latest news. You talked about Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas signing for 5 years, $70 million. You know, you think those are good deals for the teams or the players? How do you think those deals worked out for them?
Very good. Those are mirror contracts. They both were the same damn contract, just two different receivers, basically. You know, it's good. You know, like I said, that's a good job for Dez Bryant because he – maybe I don't think I'm going to sit out. I can say nothing until y'all do what I want you to do. You know, the average stuff a prima donna does. And we are glad he got it so he can get in camp and do his thing. You know, that's the going rate for a wide receiver right now. And the salary cap is going to do nothing but go up, plus TV packages comes in, it's going to go up. So I don't think it doesn't hurt the team at all. So, I mean, that's good. They got their number one outside receiver. Now he has to earn it. He has to, you know, live up to that contract.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you, man, I was a bit surprised that that's all they settled for, to be honest with you. I like that Dez's been a baller, you know, in this league for the last 4 years. Well, ever since he's been in the league, really, he's been a baller, man. He's put up, you know, big-time numbers. Exploded last year with 16 touchdowns. I think he's as good as anybody in the business, man, and Demaryius as well. Demaryius maybe is, you know, better. You know, he puts up huge numbers, and I just really thought that those guys would have tried to get closer to Calvin Johnson, maybe not the $20 million that, you know, the Lions have now, but just the average the per year. I just thought those guys would have got closer to $15 million, man, maybe more, because those guys are younger. They're in their prime. They haven't had to history of injury that some of those other players have, like Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson. I was kind of surprised. And like you said, the salary cap is going to be going up. In the beginning, you know, their tender, their one-year tender was 12.8. So you sign, you hold out. I mean, not really hold out, but, you know, you negotiate for basically $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. We just have to get that damn contract.
The guarantees were pretty good, were pretty solid for him. So I guess that's, you know, the good part of it. But
I'm so surprised. So they're both going to be in camp. They're both going to get a chance to get, you know, both get a great rapport with their quarterbacks. So I look forward to, you know, what those guys are going to bring to the field. Let's talk about your boy, man, Greg Hardy, man, and what he may do, what the NFLPA may do. He was acquitted, I guess, because the victim didn't want to testify on some domestic violence charge. He was, I guess, originally suspended 10 games, and now it's reduced to 4. There's been some word about the NFLPA may say that they may want it reduced all the way down since he didn't play last year. What's your stance on this, man, and how do you think the league reacted?
This is how the league reacted. He didn't play last year, correct? We all know that, right? Here's the thing.
Right.
The league went into overreaction mode when it came to the domestic violence and everything else that happened. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, he didn't play last year. That took his pockets. That did it. Now, if he gets a reduced salary, he does not play. You know what I'm saying? That's a hell of a good thing for the Cowboys because, one, they went on defense anyway with the first round because they thought he was going to be gone. So that adds a bigger 1-2 punch for the Cowboys. Plus, they picked up their tackle that they thought was good, that nobody had picked up. And, two, like I said, it's egg in the face for the NFL. They are so quick to react to the hot topic that, you know what I'm saying, they don't wait for everything to come right with him. So kudos to him. You know what I'm saying? Not to say what he did, kudos to that, because, you know, we all don't stand for domestic violence at all. At the same time, you got the NFL jumping the gun, panicking, and et cetera, about what's going on. And so there it is. He's back. Cowboys is even more dominant team over there. That, like, it's the Cowboys now. Then you might be sprinkling Washington or Philly or whoever. But the Cowboys, like, the team is going to wrap up that division. And with him being back, and if he doesn't miss a game, they are a strong Super Bowl contender now. That's part everybody forgot. Green Bay was a Super Bowl contender. I mean, Seattle, everybody think about Seattle, but, you know, we got to see what happens there. You know what I'm saying? Because they still got their own little things they got to go through. But Dallas Cowboys has jumped out as part of the leader of the pack. They got the offensive line 10 times better now. You know what I'm saying? The defensive line 10 times better. They are – Jared Jones is doing his damn thing over there with his cheating ass.
Why he got to be cheating, man? That's crazy. So
yeah, man, you know who he is.
The 4 games, though. He's thinking about appealing the 4 games.
Okay.
What's your thought on that?
Well, my thing is this. Tom Brady's going to appeal the 4 games, right?
Right.
Right. So here's my thing. If he didn't play all last year because of this, and then he was going to get 10 games this year, and then the person didn't testify. So in other words, there's no case. There's nothing going against him right now. He should not be disciplined for something that's not in existence. That's why I said they jumped the gun last year and all that stuff because, you know, it was just because it was a hot topic last year. NFL don't give a damn about no domestic violence, real talk. You know what I'm saying? But for the simple fact that it was a hot topic, they suspended him. Now, if there's no case, there's no need to suspend him. He can play. Get him play, get out there and see him.
I'm going to tell you, man, his case was so belligerent, man. I'm going to tell you that. I think he definitely, the 10 games, he didn't play last year, but he was paid for every game. It was pending the legal situation being resolved. He pushed it off longer than what it had to be, because he wasn't playing. They say he paid her off. I think they're here nor there. But if you say, you know, you got pictures and you got testimony of somebody being tossed on a bed of guns,
a bad gun, and dragged across and beaten. I mean, the story is very, very vivid. And it ain't a doubt in my mind that, you know, say you should be punished. He got punished last year. My thing is this. If they're not putting a case on this man, right, and believe me, I'm not trying to defend this man right now. I want you to understand this. I am not trying to defend his actions whatsoever, what he did. But if there's no case on him, how in the hell can, if there's no legal case on him, how the hell can you suspend him from making his money on that? Because he wasn't going to get paid these games. You know what I'm saying? So if they don't have a physical case on him, you know what I'm saying, in court, the judge or anything else, you cannot sit up here and be like, okay, that's the problem with NFL. They act like they're more holier than that. You know, so you can't tell them, okay, well, we're going to suspend you for these games, woo, 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 if you don't have nothing in court. That's the biggest problem right there.
Okay. Okay. Well, the Lions, man. Real quick, the Lions. It's the off season. Wanted to talk about possibly some breakout candidates for these guys, man. Some guys who may, you know, turn out to be some real, real key cogs in these guys, what we hope to be a successful season for them. You got a couple that you want to talk about, one or two maybe? You got a couple out right now.
Yeah, I got Zeke Elliott. You know what I'm saying? I think this year is, he's going to be, has to show he's dominant. If Nada's getting double teamed in there and he can get that push, I'm hoping Zeke can take over the games and show that he wasn't just a product of Sue being next to him, that, you know, he's actually a dominant pass rusher and he's going to go out there and show it. The other one, I can't say it's a breakout because he's a rookie. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really banking on him because every report I heard about this man has been A1. It's been, hey, he's this, he's that. Go dock him, go dock him, go do this, go do that.
Running back, folks. How much is the running back? How much of y'all want to bet it's the running back? Go ahead.
You know Darrell Willis is the running back. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely the running back. I think he has a chance to actually, you know, not take the position over, but not be that spear, that 1-2 reliever. Like, he's going to be the one, and then once the Bell's going to be the two. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, that's how that's going to work. Honestly, I think, you know, he's going to be able to take that and run with it. You know, he's been healthy from camp. He's been able to pick up, you know, he's had a bigger advantage by Dale being out for all the everything else so far that, you know, it makes him get those number one reps.
No, I have him written down as a guy, you know, who possibly would be excellent in the number two role. I think he'll get some third down work. I think he makes a plant. Theo Reddick a little bit. If we have any problems with the wide receiver spot, I think Theo Reddick can help us out there as well. And I think it's going to be a good change of pace back. I think that's the low end of his ceiling. I'm sorry, his floor, if you will. His ceiling, though, if he, you know, becomes the number one guy, can show that he can take the pounding, run between the tackles, be a solid guy in pass protection on third down, as well as a solid receiver, which we've heard pretty good things about his hands and things. We haven't heard about his blocking, and I haven't heard anything about that. When I saw him,
it's hard to tell because you ain't got no pass. So,
right. But with that being said, if he does become the guy, and the thing about it, I'm gonna tell you, it's more to me, and that's just my, and I don't have any insight, and I don't know anything. If Bell is healthy, I think he is the lead guy and the goal line guy. Wow.
There you go. I'll give you that.
The man is. Now, if he's not healthy, then you got to go with who's there. So that's kind of where I'm looking at. If he's healthy, then I think Bell's the lead guy. But this guy gets a lot of runs, gets some third down runs, some second and long runs, change of pace guy. And they said he's going to be returning kicks as well. So definitely a breakout candidate. My breakout candidate, he took two of them right up from under me, and Si and my man. But Slay, you know, he's going to get finished.
Okay.
A lot of number one receivers. And even in our division, there's a good amount of tandems. You look at Randall Cobb.
Shit, Chicago. Chicago got the best one now. I'm telling you.
I can't give it to that young man until I have to see him play, man. Not over Randall and Jordan. You know, Brandon Marshall's no longer there. So there's Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey. I need to see Alshon without Brandon Marshall, because Brandon Marshall was still out there a lot last year, and he still was demanding a lot of attention. Maybe not the number one attention, maybe halfway through the year. But let me see a little bit. Let me see what Alshon can do at number one, and if Kevin White can do the Alshon impression. But, yeah, they're a nice combo. But let's wait to see first. He's got to be out Marcus Wilson, who's been in the league a couple of years over here. So we got to wait to see on that one. But with that being said, Slay's going to see a lot of action. And everyone's talking about how he's improving. I saw a little bit of it last year, but I want to see more players. I want to see more interceptions and more impact plays. I think teams are going to be throwing at the Lions a lot more. So, I like him. I also like the Whitehead kid. Shahir Whitehead, who played inside linebacker last year for Tellett. Now he's going to play outside linebacker with Tellett and Levy. He's a guy who can run to the football, solid in coverage, a freakish athlete. I like him a lot. And then I got a little sleeper guy, that Benoit kid. We don't know what he can do in the league because he had that core injury last year. But from looking at a little bit of his film and his numbers, the guy had 26 sacks. The guy can get to the quarterback.
And they said he could put his hand in the dirt and play some DE in as well.
I want to say 7 interceptions. Yeah, I'm like, how did this guy have 26 tackles? I may be in, but I don't know if it's 26 tackles for loss, 26 tackles. Don't quote me on that. But he was high. I'm gonna look it up. I'm not talking about my computer now. But I'm gonna look it up. He had a number of sacks, a number of pass breakups, a number of interceptions, and a number of tackles for loss. This guy was a very active player. And I think they can use him in a variety of ways in their defense. So he's a guy who I think can definitely break out for him. And the guy that you hate, the guy that we're waiting to break out, young Ebron, man. He's a guy who definitely see some single coverage all over the field. Talented guy. Drops are going to be a problem. But he's going to be the guy that's
going to
put safety. Against linebackers, he's going to be the one. If anybody's going to have a mismatch, he's going to be the guy because I don't think because teams are not going to think he can take advantage of it. And I'm not saying he's going to have the next Jimmy Graham ring thing, but it wouldn't surprise me. I'm hoping for a 50 catch, 600 yard season. If I can get a 60 catch, 700 yard season, that would be great.
I'm just happy he had a 5% or 10% drop rate. Let's just do that. 5% or 10% drop rate. He had passes where he was wide open, and he put his hands together way before the ball's getting there. So I'm hoping that, his drop rate is just falls off, that, he has a drop rate where, he catches more than he drops. How about that? Let's crawl before we can run. And here right now, that's a leaps and bounds because his performance as a rookie last year was suspect at least. That's the only way I could put it and be respectable about him. His rookie season was mind-boggling for a ninth overall draft pick.
Agreed. Let me ask you this, man. I want to just briefly talk about a couple teams, man, that are improved, but may not make it to the playoffs, man. But could be. I mean, they could be on the cusp there. Look dangerous. A couple teams, man. I'm looking at. I'm like, I couldn't. I'm trying to see who's in, who's out, who's around. There's a couple teams that didn't put in to the playoffs, and I couldn't just rule them out. And they look so much improved, man. I got a couple teams here I want to talk about.
Okay.
One of them is the Jets, man. I don't know why the Jets keep coming to mind. They got the new head coach over there, Ty Bowles, the young brother. I'm hoping he has some success there. But, man, they added Revis. Cromartie at the cornerback. They had one of the best defensive lines in the league. Then they added the number one draft pick in Leonard Williams. They added Ryan Marshall and Darren Smith. I'm sorry, Brandon Marshall and Devin Smith of Ohio State to the wide receiver corps to go along with Eric Decker. The running back position is kind of up in the air. They have Chris Ivory, who's a returning incumbent guy, but they traded for your boy who got mad when Gurley was drafted, Zach Stacy, so he's over there. And they also signed Stephen Ridley, who's coming off the ACL injury. I mean, an intriguing group. You got Geno Smith as a quarterback, which is a big question mark. I kind of like them over there. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs because that division is tough. I mean, another team on this list is in that division, but in Miami and New England is in that division as well. But I like what I'm seeing from those guys, man. They're going to be a problem.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what I picked real quick. It was the same division, right there with you. But they were 8-8 last year, Miami Dolphins. One of the key pickups, I'm going to stop right here when I say this one word, Dominican Sue. You know what I'm saying? When they did that, that put them, hey, that made them, you know what I'm saying, a better team. Ryan Tannehill, they signed him back to a four-year deal. He was a 4,000-yard passer last year. You know what I'm saying? They also acquired a tackle, Donald Hawkins, for the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? To help out Tannehill with that offensive line. Another person they picked up, I know it don't seem like none, but you know, Tommy Streeter, you know, as depth for a receiver position. Now, they picked their draft, Devontae Parker. He has surgery, but he's successful. He should be able to play in week one. So he will be out there. Jordan Phillips, another nose tackle to help out with Sue, one in a guard, and Jamal Douglas. And then one of my key pickups, and you know I love running backs. You know I love running backs. What's his name? Jay Achaya. The running back, you know, say he's a fifth runner. He has depth. He has some knee issues, but they say pound for pound, he was one of the better running backs in the draft. You know, say he's a large running back, aggressive, you know, say a real aggressive between the tackles runner. Can catch the pass, block, pick up. He leaves depth. He said he's going to actually take over for Miller once he leaves. You know, so when Lamont leaves. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it right now. That we had a good draft. They got a lot of players in there that's going to come in and start. And they made a lot of key additions. So, and with New England being, like I said, I'm not looking at Tom Brady being gone for the first four games. Or anything like that. I'm looking at New England losing Wilford, losing my corner, losing the safety, losing receivers. I'm looking at it as, you know, it's a shakeup in that division. So I'm thinking Miami might be a team that can make the playoffs. You there? Are we there? Okay, well, I guess we're not there. So the second team I'm looking at as well, I'm going to stay in the AFC. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to jump over to Kansas City. You know what I'm saying? Kansas City is a team that they got the best pass rushing duo in Ramique Wilson and DJ Alexander. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Justin Houston and Tabaha Ali. Ali, I can't remember his name. Nothing. It's the best pass rushing duo right there, along with, you know what I'm saying, they made a whole bunch of draft picks. They got Marcus Pierce. They were all mainly in defense and in line. You know, so now you have the best running back in the NFL, and you know, Charlie. But my thing is this. They picked up Marcus Peterson, Mitch Morris, Chris Conley, wide receiver, Steven Nelson, cornerback. Then they got some linebackers, Ramique Wilson and DJ Alexander, outside linebacker as well. So I'm looking at Kansas City and Miami, the two teams that I'm thinking that's going to make. They were outside, barely making the playoffs, you know what I'm saying, 8-8 records, 9-7 records. But I think we're a little bit tweaking because I don't think Denver Broncos is going to be that dominant team over there this year. They, like I said, they lost their left tackle to protect Peyton Manning. They also lost a key addition in a tight end. So they rely on a rookie tight end to come in to make some comfort. So I'm looking at Kansas City to beat the other team as well. Go ahead, Carlson. I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Well, we're here on air. I'm going to talk about Buffalo and Minnesota. They get AP back. They add in Mike Wallace. Hawkins gets two more folks, two more weapons back. Bridgewater is there. They got skills. They have players who can make plays. And these guys are getting it in. So they're going to be tough. Rudolph's got tight end. They're tough. Also, Buffalo. Buffalo looks like they're a tough team. They made a lot of changes.
Okay.
Hello, Cap.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly fine. Go ahead. I'm ready for you to finish. Everybody, I guess we see this a little bit technical difficulty. Carl, can you hear me right now?
What's going on? We're going to keep it moving.
Okay, yes. Carlson, do you hear me, sir?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, we're right here. I'm right in your ear, son.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good to hear. Like I was saying, though, Greg, you were saying something about Buffalo?
Buffalo. I'm sorry, man. We had some serious technical difficulties, man. Buffalo has added Shady McCoy. Got your boy from O-line. legit wide receiver in Percy Harvin. I don't know how legit he is, but they also have Robert Woods over there on that team as well. The QB is the only question, man. The QB, we don't know who that's going to be, and they're not looking promising right now. I know you love Buffalo, man. Tell me why you like them again, man, because you have this team every year, man. But this year they've made some improvements, but tell me a little bit about Buffalo and why you think they're going to make that next step. I know you picked them.
Well, no, actually I didn't. I picked Miami and Kansas City. I was telling you, when you were having your hold earlier, I was telling hey, about our viewers about Kansas City, why I picked them instead of Buffalo. Buffalo has tremendous talent. I'll tell you like this, on the outside of receivers, a good 1-2 running game. They have depth in the linebacker position, corners, they have everything else. But without a dominant quarterback right now for this team, there's going to be a problem. They made key additions and everything else. But like I said, Buffalo is a team that I constantly put them up there. But when I step back and look at it as a whole, once I ask this question, you know what I'm saying, even though Buffalo was a 9-7 last year, I wanted to put them there and say there's a team that might be able to make the playoffs. But once I looked at the total body of work, without that, without the quarterback play being a legitimate factor, that's why we were Kansas City over Buffalo. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at right now, it's E.J. Mayo and the other quarterback, I think they came from, what's his name? I can't remember
his name right now. Yeah, Matt Castle and E.J. Manuel and Tyrod Taylor, who was a third-string quarterback in Baltimore, I believe, last year.
Right. So, actually, they don't have anybody. It's kind of a shame that they didn't draft anybody. That's what I thought they were going to do, but they went another direction. So my thing is, with E.J. Manuel, he's not proven. He's not shown he can hold up at an NFL level. You know what I'm saying? He has the physical attributes and skills and everything else to do it, but in between the ears is where he's lacking right now, and that's just being honest. So without that, I can't roll with Buffalo. Everything else about him, the defense and everything else, I like. Even though you got one of the best, better new pickups as receiver on the outside, we just got to make sure we have a proven quarterback to take the place for that. And without that, you know, I can't roll with it. But I do like what Kansas City did. Like I said, Kansas City is a team that were winning games without scoring touchdowns with their wide receivers. They run it on, they run on defense. They won with a running game. You know, so they won all types of dimensions in that aspect that you want a team to win with. So now they added some more line depth, and they added some more receivers and linebackers. They got the best linebacker pass rushing duel in the NFL right now. You know what I'm saying? They brought in the outside linebacker and the inside linebacker in the draft. And some more help with the corner position. I like to get Kansas City as a team that will make the playoffs coming out of division. Like I said, because Denver Broncos, I don't believe will make it because, well, they'd be on the offense because they do have Peyton Manning. He's a hell of a quarterback. Take that away from him. But without his left tackle to protect his blind side now, you know what I'm saying, you can try to get rid of the ball and everything else. But as you see what Seattle did, once they start jumping those rosters, sitting on everything, Peyton Manning's going to get his ass whooped. This might be his outing this year.
Great defense. Justin Houston just signed 6 years, $101 million. They added Mack on the offensive side of the ball. They got Alex Smith. They got Jamal Charles. I like them a lot. I think I still like Denver in the division, but I do like Kansas City, man. That's a good one. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play a team. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm going to like I think they're going to be exciting to watch. That's going to be the St. Louis Rams. I know you always hate me saying them. But they have the best defense on a non-playoff team.
Because you pick them every year.
Todd Gurley, who if healthy can be one of the best running backs I think we've seen in a long time.
Now that is true.
He's not healthy. They ain't Clay Mason. So their problem is the quarterback spot with Nick Foles. I like him a little bit, but not a whole lot. And the receivers. Who is going to catch the football over? Who's going to be an exciting – big-time outside threat. Tavon Austin hasn't panned out. Stedman Bailey hasn't panned out. Kenny Britt has shown some flashes, and a couple other guys have shown flashes, but nobody's been consistent. So I think they're going to be 8-8.
Austin was good with the Cowboys as far as the backup role, you know what I'm saying? But outside of that, he's nothing really.
Well, Tavon Austin, a little guy from West Virginia who was supposed to be 4'3", 4'2", all that.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's a speedster, and oh shit, I didn't see nothing out of him either though.
He turned out to be a the B word.
Yeah, he's a bust. It's okay.
My mind a little
mixed. I'm going to give him one more year to see what he can do.
Yeah, people don't like to say that word, but, you know, it's a walk like a duck, quack like a duck. It is a duck. If he drop passes like a bus, can't get open like a bus, can't accelerate like a bus, and can't perform like a, you know, if he performs like a bus, he's a bus. So there it is.
Let me ask you this, man. Let's talk a little bit about the fantasy, man. And, you know, this is a real stuff. This isn't just a sticky subject for you, because I know you don't ever like to share your strategy. But what type of things, man, what type of trends do you foresee this year going on, man, early? You know, I'm sorry, during the draft. I know it's kind of early, but I know people are trying to ramp up their interest in the fantasy game. What type of trends do you think, you know, may possibly be going down this year in the draft?
Well, it's your normal trend, the best running back. Looking to see, well, AP back with no suspension, no question marks over his head. You got, I guess, five, maybe six top-notch running backs. You know what I'm saying? Then you're going to get the all-out jump on your receivers. So you got your top 10 and 12 receivers. Then your next five is going to be quarterbacks. Basically, that's how the draft breaks down. You know what I'm saying? My thing is trying to get a top five person at every position. If you want them early, get them early. Just make sure you can come back in the snake draft, if you're planning the snake draft, to pick up the next person to complement that. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing you want to make sure. If a lot of people that get that last pick, they panic, and they don't know what to pick up on the next round coming back down. So, you know, so you want to make sure you do your due diligence and your research on, you know, each position, you know what I'm saying? Don't go in there blind. Just don't go in there with no chart and a thing, cheat sheet saying you're rocking, because that's not going to happen. You're going to look foolish.
You sound like you're talking from experience or something. You sound real knowledgeable in that situation right there. You said when you on a turnaround, you don't really know who to call.
Hey, man, just like I said, just, you know, let them know.
I think number one and number 12 are the best two picks, really.
Mm-hmm.
They up there, number one and number 12, or 10, the last one, but I digress, man. Like you said, man, I think it's going to be a lot of the same, man. The more things change, the more things stay the same is what I wrote down here on paper, man. You know, it's still going to be the top five or six running backs, but it used to be maybe 12, 13, 14 running backs before the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the proliferation of the RBBC, the running back by committee, along with the, you know, proliferation of the passing game, the receiver's value is going up. The running backs still have value, but you got to just a little bit more of a guessing game from time to time about, you know, especially when you're dealing with someone in those RBBCs. So you got to watch out for that. But I think, you know, you need a running back. A solid running back or two. But depending on how your league is set up, you know, if you put together a solid group of receivers, you can do something, man. Quarterbacks, I'm going to tell you, man, some of them I think are going to go higher than they should. Some of them are going to go lower than they should. And I think, you know, for right now, you know, there's a couple guys that I'll draft early. I'll draft for Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck in the first three rounds if it looks really, you know, valuable for me. Looks good for me, but you know, otherwise than that, man, I think I may be waiting on quarterbacks a little bit. I had a couple guys. I'm not scared of the quarterback platoon anymore. I used to be kind of afraid. Like, yeah, you know, I drafted this guy at number one, and he's supposed to be my starter. You know, sometimes you got to go with a hot hand, man, and a better matchup, man.
If you're a matchup person, stick to your goals. Stick to your guns with you. You know what I'm saying? If you're a person that says, okay, this team plays in this division defense right here, throughout the whole division, up and down, is ranked, like, in the bottom half, go with it. Run with it. You know what I'm saying? If you're thinking that this quarterback plays in this division is it's like the AFC North. You know what I'm saying? You know, with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about two of the top-notch defenses in the NFL right there. You know, so you don't want to pick somebody that's kind of like a third or, you know, fourth kind of receiver. You want to make sure you pick somebody that's a top receiver like a Brown or something like that and roll with it. You know what I'm saying? Don't sit up there and try to take a guess or a chance because them people are going to get locked down.
said he's going to get locked. He's going to get locked down. Let's talk about a couple, man, overrated players. And when I say overrated, I know we talk about boom or bust. You know, when I say overrated, some people always say, well, you talked about bust already, and you bought such and such a bust. Overrated doesn't necessarily mean a bust. It just means that they're not performing at the level that they were drafted at. You know, it's not, you know, you still can get solid performance. A lot of times teams or players outperform the position at their draft position. You know, but, you know, I don't think, like, my first guy is going to be Drew Brees. I don't think he's going to be a bust by any means. But I don't think he's going to be worth a top four draft pick, or a top four round draft pick. You know, he lost Jimmy Graham. He lost a couple linemen. He only did bring in a couple linemen as well. We lost Kenny Steele. They're talking about a more balanced attack. So he's a guy that I'm not saying he's going to be weak or he's going to be a bust or anything like that. But you think he's going to go in the first three or four rounds. And I'm thinking more he's going to perform like somebody who I drafted in the second or eighth round. That's an overrated guy to me. Go ahead.
Well, I got three, and I'm just going to throw them out there. No order, no way of doing it. I'm just going to give you my three. My first one, it's a quarterback everybody's going to like because he's a dual quarterback, Calvin Kaepernick. I think that's one body he lost a lot. Niggas are allowed to do a lot, but he's not going to perform. My next one is Eric Decker. Got traded to the Jets. You said he's around good company in the receiver, but I don't see him shining like he did when he was in another position. Last one, at least, is tight end Julius Thomas. He just moved to the Jacksonville Jaguars. People still might pick him up because of his name. They think he's still there with Peyton Manning. They think that, you know, he's going to get a lot of production out there. But their receiver thing, I mean, their quarterback play, like I said, that team right there is an interesting team. It can go either or. But I don't think that team is, you know, ready to shine just yet. So right there is my three overrated players. I think people are going to pick up because of name recognition and what they've done in the past. But I don't think they're going to shine this year for him.
I went with Peyton Manning. I think that he's going to probably keep some great regular season numbers. He lost, there's no more Welker. Even though Welker was injured last year, he also lost Julius Thomas. Although he does have Owen Daniels there now, who's a veteran. But, you know, I don't even worry about what he's going to do in the regular season for you in terms of fantasy football. What is he going to do down the stretch when it's cold outside and he's playing out there in that cold weather and you're in your football needing him to put up 20 points and he's coming up with 6 or 7? Can you trust him down the stretch is my question. And when you're drafting a guy as your starter in round 4 or 5, you need to have that type of assuredness that he can at least is going to step up and be there for you. That might be a little a stretch, but even the last 2 years, he's been kind of suspect. C.J. Spiller, man, never been really consistent, never really been consistently healthy. He's playing behind another health risk, which could make a bust candidate. But a lot of people are drafting him a lot early. We think he's going to get a lot of change of pace carries and things of that sort. But I haven't, you know, he hasn't been healthy. He's a guy I don't think I would be on any of my teams because I just don't believe in him. C.J. Anderson, Denver. Not saying I don't like the talent, but I think that they have a couple other guys, Ronnie Hillman, who was a third-round pick 3 years ago, and Monte Ball, who was a second-round pick 2 years ago. I just don't think they've given up on these guys this early in the process. I think they're going to be giving a shot to be either to overtake CJ or be in some type of rotation. And it looks like they've had a few years before, so it really surprised me if they are that spot. Last but not least, man, I went with I got another one in Sammy Watkins, man. Not because of the talent, just because of the quarterback. Of the quarterback. Rex Ryan likes to usually go with the ground and pound situation. You add a Percy Harvin in and a Robert Woods to the mix, and take out a solid quarterback. You don't know what you got with him. He's going look like a lot of. Somewhere between round 4 and 6, unless he needs to go be going around 7 or 8 possibly. So, but again, he's still early in the game. You know, a lot of things can happen. I also have a boy, Julius Thomas, man. The downgraded quarterback might be the death of him.
We got to watch him, too, because people didn't know who he was a couple years ago. He started on the team here in the Premier League a couple years, but he had some injury issues. So we got to watch him, man, and make sure the magic dust hasn't worn off of him. We have come in to basically the end of the show, which is cool. We can shut it down. El, you got some last words for the show? I apologize for my technical difficulties. El, any last words there, buddy?
Yeah, not much. Just, you know, hey, I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again next week. Live it up, and I'm holler.
All right, y'all. Remember, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life, and a passion for sports, we're going to get on out of here with a little bit of that JV. See you guys next week. All right.
Talking about real shit or we talking about rhyme? You talking about millions or you talking about mine? What we talking about? Cause I ain't got time for what people be talking about all the time. What we talking about, fiction or we talking about facts? You talking about fiction, hold up, pardon my back. I'm talking about life, and all I hear is, oh yeah, keep talking about.
I ain't talking about profit, I'm talking about pain. Talking about despair, I'm talking about shame. Talking about gossip, I ain't talking about game. I ain't talking about Jimmy, I ain't talking about Zane. I'm talking about real shit, them people playing. What is you talking about? I don't know what y'all saying. People keep talking about hoes, take it back. I'm doing better than before, why would I do that? Ain't nothing cool about carrying a strap out, wearing your mom's and burying your best cat. Talking about revenge while you're carrying his casket. All teary eyes about to take it to a mattress. Talking about music, I ain't talking about rap. Talking about who's hot, I ain't talking about that. The conversation is changing, yap about that. I don't run rap no more, I run the map.
Say,